Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's What We Teach at the Law School right after this. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor. And we've been taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if a plumber said that? What if your plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? Or what if a carpenter said, he who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client? Now, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or steps is incompetent? You know, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself in court has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or carpenter. Now listen, here's James Nielsen. James Nielsen is a professor at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he had to say about lawyers. He said it's a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. He said it's worse than that. Most students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or a deed. And he said a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom and without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel. And he went on to say that a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and their clients, that it is a cruel hoax. Now, that's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. And our courtroom strategy and procedure school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about this thing of the law school. What is it that we teach here? Some young fella called us here from, or wrote us an email here from Australia. And he just represents the tip of the iceberg. There's about one of these people writes me every day and asks questions about how do you get out of the system? How do you actually put this program into practice? And how is that going to benefit me or my family, you know, in Australia or Canada or New Zealand or Europe? You know, people from all over the world call, and they want to know things like, well, does that law work here in China or Japan or Bolivia or Brazil? Well, there's two forms of law here on planet Earth. Two. That's all that there is. It's the common law, represented by the Ten Commandment model, and the Roman civil law, which is represented by the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Now, in ancient times, we didn't call this law the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. In ancient times, it was called the Babylonian Mystery Religion. Today, we hang labels on it like fascism, communism, capitalism. We hang these isms on this legal practice. It all amounts to the same thing. Jesus made an observation one time. He says, you'll know them by their fruit. You know, Adolf Hitler and George Bush are two peas that come out of the same pod. Adolf Hitler believed in paper money and absolute dictatorial power. That's what George Bush believed in and practiced. Wasn't a dime's worth of difference. One guy's called a Nazi, and the other guy is called a capitalist or a Republican. You know, you can hang these labels on here, but what you do is you watch him and you look, and what is this guy teaching you? What's different about this guy? Barack Obama says what we need is change. Change from what? Is Barack Obama going to give you gold and silver coin pursuant to Article 1, Section 10 of your Constitution, or is he going to give you more paper money? Well, I've been watching this guy. He's coming up with a stimulus package. He's going to spend trillions of paper dollars out there. They're not going back to gold and silver coin. The way they solved the Depression back in 1787, after the collapse of the continental currency in 1783, they went through about 5 years of depression, and they solved it by going back to gold and silver coin. Today, we're not going to do that. So if you get down here on the bottom line, the third school in our eight-school program here is called Courtroom Strategy and Procedure. Courtroom Strategy and Procedure. And a lot of times people say to me, well, what's this got to do with the Bible? Well, it's got everything to do with the Bible. And that's because God instructed you, Jason, this is the guy I'm talking to now down in Australia, instructed you to receive a legal education. The creator of the universe told you you need a legal education, a law school education. That's what you need. In fact, he instructed everybody on planet Earth to have a legal education. Did you know that? And then we woke up one day and said, hell no, we won't go. We're not going to have a legal education. We're going to have a liberal arts education. Well, okay. Now you've got your liberal arts education. What the hell are you going to do with it? Go unfold like a rose? You're going down and pinch the girls on the butt over at the water cooler? Huh? The whole damn world's filled with incompetence now. They can't, as my old granny used to say, haven't got sense enough to carry guts to a barrel. And we've got them by the millions, and we graduate them from our colleges and universities. Totally incompetent. If you gave a guy in New York City walking down the street a live chicken, he'd make a pet out of it, and both of them would starve to death. Except for going into McDonald's and getting chicken McNuggets, he wouldn't have a clue as to what the hell to do with that chicken. Not a clue. All right, now let me show you a little something here, Jason, that you needed to know. Here in the scripture, in Deuteronomy 5, verses 31 through chapter 6, verse 25, is quite a little story. And it deals with education. Some of the highlights. It says, which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Eternal your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go in to possess it, that you might fear the Eternal your God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your sons' sons, all of the days of your life. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Commandments, judgments, statutes, what the hell is that all about? Has nothing to do with religion, it has to do with law. Has to do with law, kids. Now, the Apostle Paul was a prosecuting attorney. Today we call them AGs, attorney generals, or prosecutors. And in the book of Acts, there was two big defenses that he put on. And he was defending his practice of the Ten Commandment model in the Roman Empire, which at that time was practicing the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. They didn't call it communism. They called it the Roman civil law. Nothing more, nothing less. So they were practicing a foreign and alien law to the Ten Commandments. He was practicing the Ten Commandments. Now, up until then, he was a practicing communist, just like everybody else. And he was converted from communism to the Ten Commandment model. And so that's what we teach here at the law school, the Ten Commandment model, in contradistinction now to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Now, everybody's practicing communism today, worldwide. We Americans have exported it. When we conquered the Japanese, we exported our Roman civil law Ten Plank program to Japan. So you Japanese people practice paper money. And you practice the central bank program, public school program, income tax program. Over in Iraq, you didn't have an income tax until we Americans came over there, conquered you, and gave you an income tax. You used to have a right to keep and bear arms. Now we come over there, and we're going to give you gun control. No, we Americans have been exporting communism all over the world. You thought it was the Russians doing that. Hell, the Russians learned it from us. We're the ones that delivered it to them. We call that the Russian Revolution. All right, now, in order to teach you the courtroom strategy and procedure, in other words, if you're going to practice tax and status and private business, at some point in time, you're going to be brought into court, just like the Apostle Paul was. If you practice the Ten Commandments, I can assure you, you will suffer persecution. Jesus promised you that. This is why I've told you people, no, this isn't for everybody. Many are called, but few there be that be chosen. And except the Father draw you, you can't come. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm an elitist. I don't know whether or not I'm going to make the first resurrection, and neither do you. You may have high hopes. You may have a great desire. But in the final analysis, you may not make the cut. You may not be selected. Now, meanwhile, back on the farm, there's the real world out here that we have to deal with. And in the real world, they've got laws and rules and regulations. Everybody's practicing communism, and they expect you to do the same. You're a very valuable member now as a tax-paying citizen of Australia, New Zealand, Canada, or the United States. Wherever you live in the world, you are an asset to your government as a practicing communist. As an individual practicing the Ten Commandments, you're of no value at all. People who tithe to God are not paying their tax to Baal. Baal wants your tax dollars. He wants to enslave you to this Roman mercantile system. And of course, you've been taught and trained to do that from the time you're a little child. When you're born, you're raised in this mercantile system. You go to school, you're taught and trained to be a worker. You go to college, you're taught and trained to be a professional, to administer this Roman civil law. It's a legal system. Now, most people are legal illiterates. They don't know how to go into court to claim their rights. Now, you have a constitution in Australia, and you have rights. You have, as a common law free man, as an Englishman, you have these rights, and they descend from Moses at Mount Sinai. And then we've had them, and then we've had them taken away from us. We've had them, and then we had them taken away from us. And then we've had them, and now they're in the process of being taken away from us again. And each time that this cycle occurs, we go into national captivity. And that's where you Australians are headed. You're on your way to national captivity, and the guys that are going to do it to you, the Chinese, just look north. They're going to come down here and take over Australia. And that's not going to be very pleasant. So we'll talk about that when we get to subsistence and survival. But meanwhile, back on the farm here, the reason that you need a legal education is because when you make your shift from the communist model to the Ten Commandment model, you're going to suffer some persecution. Now, you need to be able to walk in under the United Nations Charter. And then there's a doctrine in there that deals with human rights. And then your constitution has a section in there that deals with your religious free exercise. All Anglo-Saxon countries do that. And under the United Nations, we've adopted that, put it in the United Nations. I suspect God himself put it in there to protect the few people that will be in China, Japan, Brazil, Bolivia, around the world, who want to practice this Ten Commandment model. So you can practice it in any country in the world. God Almighty himself guarantees it. The creator of the universe guarantees it. Furthermore, the Chinese people, they think they own that piece of real estate called China. They don't. That's an illusion on their part. We here in the United States, we think that we're the sovereigns over this piece of real estate here in North America and that we own this. We don't. And there's a statute in the scripture. It's in Leviticus 25:23. It says, the land shall not be sold forever because the land is mine. So if you think you own 5 acres down there in Australia, I've got news for you. You don't. You might occupy it and possess it. You might be using it, but you don't own it. And there's a guy that claims that he owns it. He says, the land shall not be sold forever. The land is mine. There's a contested issue of law here as to who owns this piece of real estate called Australia. There's the universe, there's the creator of the universe. He says, that piece of real estate, that rock out there in the Pacific Ocean, is mine. Mine. Then you people are living under an illusion down there that, no, God, you made a mistake again, that's ours. Well, you're going to find out now whose it is in short order. Not going to take a hell of a lot longer now. Now, a few of us have awakened and started smelling some coffee here and said, hey, wait a minute. If this land actually belongs to the creator of the universe, then it might just serve our purposes. If we were to sit down, shut up, and do what we're told for a change. That's going to be a wild new concept, especially for Englishmen and Anglo-Saxons and Americans and Canadians. You know, we've been running around here doing as we damn well please for the last couple hundred years, and now it's coming to a halt. It's coming to a halt. As my old granddad used to say, it's time for you to come back down to earth. I'd get out here floating around someplace, you know, and old granddad grab a hold of me, slap me up alongside the head a couple times, say, hey, you come back down here to earth, you know. All right, so now Jason down in Australia, just like a lot of people, not one a day as I take it here, are calling me and they're asking me, well, gee, I want to do this. How am I going to get going here? How am I going to get after it? So I said, okay, well, let me tell you about these 8 schools that we teach here at the law school. Courtroom strategy and procedure. 28 things that you need to know when you walk into court. You want to defend. Jason says here, hey, I'm not going to get shots for my children and the state's going to come in and take my children. I feel like I'm trapped. Okay, hang on. Wait a minute. There's a provision in Australia. There's a provision in every country in the world to exempt you from vaccinations. Let's think about this in logical terms. Let's suppose you've got AIDS, and the law says thou shalt get thy vaccine. But your doctor says, Jesus, if we give this guy this vaccine over here, it's going to kill him. Isn't there a medical exception for vaccines? And the answer is certainly. Of course there is. How about Buddhists and all these other different religions around the world? Maybe Muslims are opposed to vaccines and vaccinations. Has it ever occurred to us that, well, maybe there's a religious exemption? And then just for upsies here, could there be a personal exemption? Here in the United States, we have 50 states. And in these 50 states, some of those states have personal exemptions, medical exemptions, and religious exemptions. Some have all three. Some have a combination of the three. And 2 states have none of the above. So in Mississippi and West Virginia, you have to go into court with a petition for declaratory relief in order to get exempted from vaccines in Mississippi and West Virginia. So this is where your legal education comes in. This is why there's 28 things that you need to know about walking into court and protecting your rights, your liberties, and establishing your duties. Okay, so let's take a look at one here. In Chapter 2, we talk about a thing here called pleadings. Pleadings. Now, most people lose their case in what we call the pleading stage of the process. In Anglo-Saxon administration, we bring you in and we say, okay, how do you plead to this charge? And you say, well, I plead not guilty. And from that moment on, you cannot win. This is a rigged deal. Let me show you how it's rigged. See, they bring you into court. Well, whose court are they bringing you into? Well, it's the state of New York, or it's the government of Australia's court. What rules are we going to apply here? The government of Australia rules. All right, so the case will be titled the state of Queensland, Australia, or the state of New York versus Joe Sixpack. So it's the government that's complaining about your behavior. There's something you didn't do or something that you were supposed to do and didn't do. It's an act of omission or commission. All right, so they bring in and say, well, you didn't vaccinate your kid. All right, how do you resist this allegation? Well, you can come in and plead not guilty. So they charged you with a factual event. Thou didst not vaccinate thy child. And you come in and plead not guilty. Well, then you're going to have to come in and prove that you did vaccinate it. And that's not the issue. The truth of the matter is you didn't vaccinate it. And when you plead not guilty, you reduce the controversy to a single clear-cut issue of fact. Did you or did you not vaccinate the kid? Help. You ought not to plead not guilty to not vaccinating the kid. You should demur and walk in and say, well, of course I didn't vaccinate the kid. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I have an objection to this. Now, when you come into court, there's only two issues that we're going to talk about, law and fact. Law and fact. And so when you plead, the judge is asking you, how do you want to proceed, by law or fact? The prosecutor comes in. He makes an allegation. You did not vaccinate your child, and the law requires that you vaccinate your child. Okay, but the court takes judicial notice of the law. And judicial notice, that means that the court follows the law. Well, there's an exception written into the law. But sept. And what you're looking for here is the legal exception, the but sept in the law. All right, so here's how this works. Let's suppose that an MP walks in my door right now. He says, George Gordon, you're under arrest. And I'm charging you with being absent without leave from Fort Lewis, Washington. So the MP bundles me up, loads me in his Jeep, and hauls me off to Fort Lewis, Washington. Pretty soon they bring me up to the provost marshal. They ask me this question. Well, Sergeant Gordon, how do you plead to this charge of being absent without leave from Fort Lewis, Washington? Guilty or not guilty? Oh, I plead not guilty. All right. Now, I've reduced the controversy to a single clear-cut issue of fact, and that is, were you or were you not absent from Fort Lewis, and did you or did you not have a Liberty card? That's all we're going to talk about. If I walk in there and I say, but I'm not a soldier, I've already pled into the fiction of law. The fiction of law is there's a factual controversy, and the only guy that could plead not guilty would be a soldier. I'm not a soldier, but I am absent from Fort Lewis, and I don't have anybody's permission to be here today. See, I'm in Isabella, Missouri today, and I don't have a Liberty card, and I am absent from Fort Lewis. Well, hell, all of you people out there listening to me right now are absent from Fort Lewis, Washington. Factually, you're all guilty. And if you plead not guilty, you reduce the controversy to, am I or am I not absent from Fort Lewis? Well, hell, where are you today? Aren't you down in Australia, Jason? Aren't you absent from Fort Lewis? Well, then obviously you're guilty, and you pled into the fiction of law. You agreed with the prosecutor that the issue that I want to decide today is, am I or am I not absent from Fort Lewis? Well, hell, we can all see that you're not at Fort Lewis, can't we? You're in Australia. So once you plead into this fiction of law, you can't win. This occurs when you walk in and you plead to a traffic charge, or you plead to a tax charge. This is why God told you need a legal education. I don't know how many places here. Let me look this up. I'm looking at chapter 33 in the Mosaic Law School, and then I've got this marked out in yellow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12, that's on two pages. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's 17, 18, 19. All right, 19. You were instructed 19 times to get a legal education by God Almighty, the creator of the universe. 19 times he told you need a legal education. How many of you people have a legal education? In the United States, we have about 600,000 lawyers. And that's about 500,000 more than we need, but we've got 600,000. Hell, that's less than 1/300th of our population. That's actually about 1/600th of our population have a legal education. About one person out of every 600 has a legal education. The other 599 couldn't find their hind ends at high noon with a road map and directions in court. And so is it any wonder that 94% of the time the state wins and you lose? And so, you know, when the state wants to take your children away from you, they will. Now, there's a solution to the problem. And the solution is called courtroom strategy and procedures. 28 things that you need to know. If you've got average intelligence, I'll point that out, you know. You do not have to have an IQ of 160 and be a Rhodes Scholar to learn law. Now, you were told to learn law in Sunday school and church. Had you people been educated by your pastors and your priests and your preachers, they should have been teaching you the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And then had you put those into practice, we wouldn't be arguing about communism versus the Ten Commandment model. We would all be practicing the Ten Commandments, living happily ever after, but we didn't listen. We didn't do that. And so Jason writes me a letter here, and he says, we feel like we're being trapped. You know, we think that the Australian government is taking control in censors and registration and pushing immunization, suggesting that parents that refuse their children shots will be charged with neglect. Hell, that's been going on for 150 years, Jason. They ain't nothing new. And hell, it was started in Great Britain in 1859. That's where the smallpox crap got started. Now, there's a logical and systematic way to bring these vaccinations and vaccines into court and to get yourself exempted from it. But you need a legal education to do that. So I just thought I'd point that out to you, that one of the things that you need to learn here is a thing called pleadings. Pleadings, chapter 2. Let me flip over here to code pleading. Legal research is a very important aspect of this. And I get calls all the time and people want to know, tell me about the law of Canada. Tell me about the law of Switzerland. Tell me about how this is going to apply here in Brazil. Okay, let me do that. It's called Complaints and Code Pleading, Chapter 4. I'm going to explain this to you. When a law is written up, it'll say something like this. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's written in Brazil or China or where it's written. I mean, you're going to have what's called an enabling clause. An enabling clause. And since all the countries in the world are now following the Roman civil law, if the Apostle Paul was here today, reincarnated and sent into the district courts here in Springfield, Missouri, except for the local rules, the Apostle Paul could practice law today just like he did 2,000 years ago. Boys and girls, law doesn't change. And we call this the doctrine of stare decisis. Once settled, always settled. Once settled, always settled. Had a guy call me one time and he said, well, with this dictatorial government coming into play, there's no need learning law. It's all over now. No, that's backwards. You see, when you're practicing the Ten Commandment model, you don't need to know the law because the law is going to be construed in your favor. The time that you need to know the law is when the dictator takes over, and now you've got to go in and plead your cause. Now, the Apostle Paul was a pro se litigant, and twice in the book of Acts, he walks in. One judge is named Festus. He walks into Festus and says, hey, let me present my pleadings. And he did that. He defended himself twice, and he did it successfully. The Apostle Paul was a pro se litigant. He was a lawyer for himself. He went into court and defended himself without a lawyer. Can you believe that? Every one of you should do that. That's the example we get from the Ten Commandment model. It's this ten plank crap that tells you that you should be dependent upon a lawyer who's incompetent. Remember the story here? And I told you, James Nielsen, it says, in the fourth largest law school in the United States, a student can graduate without ever having set foot in a courtroom, without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel. A student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. And you're going to go hire some guy like this to come in here and defend you. Huh? I mean, have you people taken leave of your senses for crying out loud? You're going to go hire an incompetent lawyer to go defend you? You didn't get that from the Bible. You didn't get that from the Apostle Paul. You didn't get that from the creator of the universe who told you that you should have a legal education. A law school degree. But I think you should get it out of the scriptures as opposed to the Harvard Law School. Or certainly, you don't want to get it from the Hastings Law School. The guy already told you they're incompetent there. Hey, this is the halfway point, and I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give out don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. We should all keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans in their viewpoints, may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, now we're talking about, here's what we teach here at the law school. Now, I have 8 schools here. Each one of these eight schools hits a vital area that each and every one of us needs to know and understand in order to survive. The reason I say that is that in the scripture, there are 64 life-threatening problems that are all coming up in this period of time called the Great Tribulation. And every one of us are going to be faced with some, if not all, of those 64 life-threatening problems. And you need to be able to solve each and every one of them. Now, there's a modality set out here in the scripture for doing just that. The 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto is the problem, not the solution. Being able to do legal research is an important aspect of being able to solve those 64 life-threatening problems. Let me give you an illustration. Years ago, I was operating a truck, and there was a scale down at Bliss, Idaho. Now, in our Constitution, at Article 1, Section 9, it says that no state shall compel anyone to stop, clear, and enter and pay duties in a port of entry. Well, I looked at that, and I said, well, these way stations, these ports of entry over here then are unconstitutional, and I wanted to test that issue in court. And I was kind of young and new at the game at that time, not being, you know, fully dry behind the ears. And so I ran the scale, and the policeman came out and gave me a ticket. And he took me over to jail and processed me through. And this case was scheduled for trial. And so I went into the trial, and I was defending and doing one thing and another. And pretty soon we got through with the trial, and I was sitting waiting for the jury to deliberate. And the judge's clerk came into the courtroom, and she said, the judge is available. And so I looked at my friend, Steve Gibson, and I said, well, I wonder what that means. And he said, I don't know, so let's go find out. So I went back to the clerk's office, and I said, now, you said the judge is available. And she said, follow me. And so I followed her back through the labyrinths of halls and corridors and offices, and we went back to the judge's chambers. Now, this judge's name was Becker, Judge Becker. And we sat down in the judge's office, and nobody was there. The judge wasn't there. So pretty soon the judge comes in through another door, and he whips off his cape. That's his black robe. He hangs it up on his hat stand, his clothes tree. And he sits down behind the desk, and he said, God, I thought you had him. I thought you had him, but you let him go. Now, that's the judge. He's talking to me. He said, I thought you had him, but you let him go. I didn't know quite what he was talking about. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He whipped out his pipe, and he was lighting up his pipe. He smoked mixture 79, very aromatic flavor, smell, scent. It's almost like incense. And so as he was wafting great clouds of smoke into the air, he said to me, he said, did you code plead that statute? Code plead, C-O-D-E-P-L-E-A-D. Something different than pleading guilty or not guilty. In fact, it's totally different. It has nothing to do with it. Did you code plead that statute? I'd never heard that term before. And so I said, what does that mean? He looked at me like I was a dunce, and he said, do you mean to tell me that you've come into this court to raise a constitutional question, and you didn't code plead the statute? Well, it was pretty obvious that that's exactly what I'd done. Now, here's a jurist, here's a judge, knows the ropes, understands the law, and here's this novice in his office raising this issue of law to the judge. To put it plainly, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. That's what the bottom line was. So the judge, very patiently, rose from his desk and went to a whiteboard behind his desk, and he diagrammed the statute. Now, the statute said, all trucks loaded with, just four words, if you've got a pen and paper, just write it down, all, A-L-L, trucks, T-R-U-C-K-S, loaded, L-O-A-D-E-D, with, W-I-T-H. Can you write those four words? All trucks loaded with, colon. Put a colon there. Now, there was a list of about 40 items. It says trucks loaded with lumber, manufactured goods, raw farm products, and so on, furniture. I mean, it had a list of, if you were playing 20 questions, you'd say there isn't anything in the world that isn't on this list. And then at the bottom of the statute, it said shall stop, enter, clear, and pay duty in a port of entry, period. There's the statute. All trucks loaded with, there's the list, shall stop, enter, clear, and pay duties in the port of entry. The judge wrote that out. Then he turned to me and he said, can you tell me which trucks are not required to stop, enter, clear, and pay duties in the port of entry? Now remember, boys and girls, my truck did not stop, enter, clear, and pay duties. I just blew the scale. I just drove right on by. In fact, when I was driving by, the waymaster, the highway patrolman, inside the scale shack on the side of the road now, he looked directly out at me in my truck, made eye contact with me as I gave him the international finger of distress. I gave him the finger as I went by. Screw you. Now, So that was at milepost 381. At milepost 384, 3 miles down the road, Officer Mogan then stopped me and asked me why I didn't stop in or clear and pay duties in the port of entry, and I said because of Article 1, Section 9 of our Constitution, which prohibits you from requiring such crazy performance. And so, you know, the fight is on. Now we're in the judge's chambers. The judge is asking me this question. He says, well, if you didn't stop at the scale, looking at this statute, we're going to code plead it. That means we're going to analyze it. That means we're going to take it apart word by word. And we're going to figure out what the intent of the lawmaker was. Now it says all trucks loaded with, and then it has a list, was whatever it was that was on my truck, was it on the list? Well, my truck hauled furniture, and furniture was on the list. So then obviously my truck was required to stop, wasn't it? If it was loaded with furniture. Okay. But nuclear waste is not on the list. So if my truck was loaded with nuclear waste, I wouldn't have to stop at the scale because nuclear waste was not on the list. But my truck was a van, and the policeman said that he couldn't see inside the van because he didn't have x-ray vision. Nothing in the statute said anything about flatbed trucks or vans. It wasn't mentioned. But there's one more classification of trucks that aren't required to stop, enter, clear, and pay duties in the port of entry. And the answer is empty trucks. Empty trucks don't have to stop. Now, down the road, there's a big sign alongside the highway, and it says, all trucks exit next right. It's a great big sign down there. It says, all trucks exit next right. It's down at milepost 379, 2 miles before you get to the scale. Now, I didn't stop at the scale, and a question arises. Well, which law takes precedence? Does the sign alongside the highway that says all trucks exit next right take precedent over the statute which says all trucks loaded with? By the way, that statute has a number. It was Idaho Code 49-2927. So it's identified by IC, Idaho Code 49. That's the chapter. That's book number 49. And the section is 2927. That's the statute number. Now, in Australia, New Zealand, around the world, that's the code that you're going to find. Every country will have a code system for identifying its statutes. And this thing of code pleading comes from the Bible. Comes from the Bible. If you had a legal education, you would have learned how to code plead. And you would have learned it from Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13. The Bible is written in code. It's a law book that has to be code pled. Just like the laws of Australia, Canada, and the United States have to be code pled, because they're all in code. That's why it's called the United States Code. Code. Boys and girls, do you know what a code is? Look it up. Code. It's a secret message. Law is written in code. Law is written in a secret message. Why? So that the commoners can't understand it. That's why lawyers speak in Latin. So that you lay people cannot understand the law. My God, if you understood the law, you might obey it. Now, you've got some understanding here that you need, Jason. You need to understand how to research the law out. Now, you don't have a problem down there without vaccinating your children. It's your ignorance that's your problem. You've got a provision in your code down there. I don't know where. Hell, I don't have any Australian law books up here. But here in the United States, we have a thing called Find Law. It's online. Hell, you can go look this up free online. You'll have something like that down in Australia. You can just rest assured they've got it up in Canada. And they've got it over in Europe. It's on the internet. You look up. In this country, we call it Find Law. Now, you look this up, and then you code plead it out. And it is true. You're going to need some legal education. That's why I opened my school. I said, you know, businessmen and farmers and truck drivers and housewives need a legal education. Now, one time he said to me, you know, Gordon, you charge too much for your schools. That's what he said. He said, you charge too much. So I said to him, I said, well, could you tell me how much is enough? And he said, $100. I said, do you know how much it costs to print up these books? He said, no. Do you know how much it costs to put out these CDs? He said, no. I said, now, if you don't know how much my cost of goods sold is, then how much, or how do you know how much, or that $100 is enough? All right, so in the United States, a legal education here in Harvard Law School, this is the number one law school, Harvard, number one, costs $48,000 a year. Takes 5 years to get a legal education from the number one school in the United States. And start at the top here. 48 times 5. Costs $240,000. That's $250,000. All that is your tuition. That doesn't cover your books, room and board, or incidentals. Costs $250,000. Cheapest law school that I know up here in the United States is Brigham Young. The last time I heard, it was $36,000. $36,000 a year. Well, my whole program, all 8 schools, if you did the whole thing over here, wouldn't be as much as the Harvard school. and I can teach you more in about 10 weeks than Harvard can in 5 years. In fact, the creator of the universe, to show you how he works and how he thinks, he wrote 4 words. It says, thou shalt not steal. That's just 4 words. That's called the theft statute. The creator of the universe can say more in 4 words than the United States Congress can say in 4 volumes. You don't have to write books and books and volumes to understand thou shalt not steal now, do you, Jason? Come on. You know, if we get down here on the bottom line and we get down to the nitty-gritty, there's 28 things that you need to know. Code pleading is one of them. Pleadings is 2 out of the 28. Let me tell you what you need to know. I'll just run by the list here. We come up here to the table of contents. There's an introduction here written by Jerry Spence to explain to you what it is that we're looking for in an education, a legal education. Then we go to pleadings, then problems in handling pro se litigation, complaints and code pleading, legal quotes, legal research, constitutional law and Supreme Courts, rules of evidence, rules of court, witnesses, evidence and testimony, motions, briefs, affidavits and asseverations, admissions, depositions and interrogatories, extraordinary remedies, the trial record, habeas corpus, trial preparation, trial rules and motions, discovery, jury selection, opening statements, direct examination, exhibits, cross-examination, making and meeting objections, closing arguments, and verdict and appeal. 28 things in law that you need to know. Moses gave you all 28. Did you know that? When was the last time your preacher ever stood up in the pulpit and said to you people, ladies and gentlemen, we all need a legal education. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, requires that every man, woman, and child on planet Earth have a legal education. And I am here to direct your education in law. Let us start with the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. You shall have no other gods before me. I mean, you know, come on, can we get started here someplace and come down to a legal education? Did you know that in witnesses, at the mouth of 2 witnesses or at the mouth of 3 witnesses shall the matter be established? Do you understand that you have to have witnesses, evidence, and testimony? Do you know that judges cross-examine witnesses? Do you know there's cross-examination is a part and parcel of your legal experience or your legal education? I'll throw that out there for you. Now, if you've been going to church, and you've been learning about Jesus, and does Jesus love you, and did you give your heart to Jesus today? But what you needed to know was, what in the hell are you going to do when the government wants to shoot your kids up with snake venom and monkey pus? That's what you needed to know. And then, of course, you know, Jason writes me a letter and says, my God, I feel like I'm trapped, and we don't know what to do. Well, I do. I know what to do. And you need to start here with what I think is tax and status. You need to find out who in the hell you are. What is your problem? Your problem, Jason, is you're a practicing communist. Now, once we run you through the problems, and we say, okay, now, did you want to get rid of these problems? There's 50. There's 46 things we need to do in tax and status, 56 things we need to do in business. And the second thing is, Jason, once you have left the system, once you've resigned your Social Security number, you still have to pay the rent. Son, you still got to feed all them bread snappers that you got. Bread snappers, I tell you. I raised 5 of them bread snappers. They cost a lot of money. Kids cost money. And then you say here in your letter that you're living from hand to mouth. Jason, you shouldn't have 5 children if you're living from hand to mouth. Kids cost a lot of money. Children cost more than airplane gas. It'd be cheaper for you to be running around flying an airplane, burning up airplane gas, than having 5 kids. I know, I had both. And I had airplanes and children. All at the same time. So you're telling me that's expensive. Now, you need to be able to make a living. That's number 2. That's business. Now, number 3, if you're gonna do this, you're gonna have to defend it. I mean, you got to be able to walk out there on the street and put this into practice. And when you do, then your government's gonna say, well, you know, we're gonna raise hell with you. And that's because, while 3 of these children you've got a claim to, 2 of them you gave to the state. The state owns those children. That wasn't too good. How come you got a birth certificate for your children? Jason, how come you passed your seed through the fire to Moloch? Huh? Oh, I don't know. It just seemed to be like the logical thing to do at the time. I know. I had 5 children, Jason. I gave all 5 of my children to the state. 5 out of 5. Give them all. Got a marriage license. I learned how to do that early on, just like you did. I was institutionalized for 12 years. And in the institution, they taught me that was the right thing to do. They taught me to be a communist. Hey, they said, you smear this communism under your arms and it'll make you smell real good. And I did. All it did is make me stink real bad. I didn't smell good at all. And then that's the bottom line. And the preacher is your problem. Your government is your problem. It's not God. It's not the Bible. It's not the scripture. That's not your problem over here. The Ten Commandments aren't your problem. That's what you've been told. You've been lied to a lot. You got wolves in sheep's clothing out there that are giving you a lot of bad information. And then when you put that into operation, you wake up one day, and you're living from hand to mouth. You feel like you're being trapped. You don't know what to do, and the government's threatening to take your kids away from you. You didn't get that from the Ten Commandments. Now you got that from the Ten Planks. That's why I've suggested to you, hey, maybe it's time to, well, make a change. So this third school here that deals with a legal education, you know, I have to put them in order. You got eight schools. There's eight things that you need to know. Remember, we're talking about number one, tax and status, number two, business, number three, courtroom strategy and procedure. Now the fourth thing, which we'll take up tomorrow, is going to be the Mosaic Law and Doctrines. And sometimes people say to me, well, how come you don't have the law of God first? Well, because first of all, you needed to know what your problem was. Your problem's communism. The solution is the Mosaic Law. So don't you have to know what the problem is before we get down to telling you, well, here's how to fix that problem? And if I run out here and say, well, let me tell you how to fix a problem that you don't know nothing about, what the hell is that all about? All right, so let's be thinking in logical terms here. First thing is to find out what the problem is. If when we get to the end of the problem in course number one, and you find out, hey, I'm happy being a communist. I had a guy here one time, he's flying for Northwest Orient Airlines. He was a captain making $130,000 a year. Got to Friday, it takes 5 days to run through this class, and he said, you know, you're expecting me to leave my job at Northwest Orient, and I make $130,000 a year to practice this Ten Commandments. And I said, that's right. And he said, that's all I know is flying airplanes. He said, I think I'll go back, pay my taxes, and shut up and fly my airplane. Okay. That's why I tell you people, this isn't for everybody. Not everybody can practice the Ten Commandments. Not everybody in the world can practice the Ten Commandment model. The Ten Commandments are not popular. They're not liked by anybody. Everybody loves communism. Everybody practices communism, and they all get a bad result. They hate the bad result. They love the process. So I'm not here to convert people to the Ten Commandments because most people can't handle them. That's what the bottom line to that is. All right, well, I'm out of time again. So I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.